claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be Come As You Are.
Come As You Are indeed. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I gotta say, if anyone had any doubt about whether the Biden administration is going all in to destroy the United States, I cannot think of a single action more incriminating than exporting oil from our strategic oil reserve at a record pace. This is absolutely stunning. Remember, the first action that he took was to cancel the XL pipeline, which Trump had supported, that had made us energy independent for the first time in history. Now Biden's reversed all that. He not only canceled the XL, which cost him 3,000 jobs on his very first day, as his very first act in office, but he's seeking to cancel the Line 5 from Ontario into Michigan that is going to deprive the Midwest of the energy necessary to remain warm this winter. And now he's selling off our strategic oil reserve. This is just incredible. I have never in my life witnessed a more obvious and blatant indication of the intention of a government to destroy its own nation. So that, in my opinion, we got a wholesale treason being committed by the Biden administration. About 1.6 million barrels of crude from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, a monthly record, was shipped out in October. I mean, this is stunning. To sell off the oil? In fact, the explanation comes from the Biden nominee for the controller of the currency, a woman, Soleil Omarova, their dubious pick, who is radical by anyone's definition, who's admitting out loud, we want to bankrupt the oil companies. She's on record desiring the destruction of the nascent fossil fuel industries. Are you scared yet? Whatever you think about climate change, and it appears to be a myth, it appears to be one more of these fraudulent, like the COVID pandemic, where I've been researching this and reporting on it virtually every single day for over 500 days, appears to be a total fraud, where when I first became serious about it way back in like March or May of 2020, Ole Domegaard suggested I look at the European mortality tables, and there was no increase in deaths due to what was supposed to be a raging pandemic. And of course, we have further confirmation because a study slipped through the cracks coming out of Johns Hopkins showing that, in fact, there was no increase in deaths for any of the age groups here, that which is supplemented by the fact there's been no increase in oxygen tank sales or IV drips in stand, which would be necessary to cope with a pandemic, where even when it was said that Elmhurst Hospital was overflowing with coronavirus patients, Jason Goodman, I mean, this is one of his good acts, went down to Elmhurst and found there was nobody there. The place was virtually deserted. And we had other good citizens going to check out. In fact, Kelly Watt recently lives in Tulsa, got reports that they had so many problems with the coronavirus that they had to bring in refrigeration trucks to store all the bodies. So she went right down and found there weren't any stored bodies in refrigeration trucks. She even took video of it, which I believe Project Veritas would have used had it been more continuous and comprehensive in her video coverage. But what's going on is we're being scammed. We're being played for suckers and saps day after day after day. Climate change, another example. Joe Olson, who's an engineer qualified in civil, structural, mechanical, and electrical, has done work on thermodynamics and understands the science of climate change thoroughly. It turns out not only is CO2, which is supposed to be the great threat to environment in the mindless brains of nitwits like AOC and her allies, actually CO2 is indispensable to life. It's transformed by green plants and trees into oxygen, indispensable for life, and has actually a cooling effect on the Earth in four different dimensions. Four different ways, it turns out, that CO2 cools the Earth. So this whole thing is complete bullshit, but they're going as though they actually believe Earth is about to be extinguished if we don't make these radical measures. Let me just add that the idea of destroying the gas and oil industry in the United States is completely insane, lunatic. It would destroy life in America. They wanted to go to electric cars, which has a very limited range. It costs more energy to produce the electricity to charge an electric car than you save by using electric cars. You cannot possibly run cities and civilization on the basis of solar or wind. In other words, this is all ridiculous. If you wanted to go non-oil, and it isn't actually a fossil fuel, it turns out the oil is naturally produced by the planet Earth in copious quantities. As you may recall, the big spill back in the Gulf way back when, where they put Corexit out to try to suppress the oil coming to the surface. That was a deep drill into the Earth's crust that tapped into this natural source, virtually unlimited, of oil. So that the idea that, you know, the oil companies are putting themselves out of business because it's a finite resource, on the basis of which they get a vast oil depletion allowance, is completely absurd scientifically. But these people are morons. Honestly, when I first saw Al Gore's movie about An Inconvenient Truth, it looked plausible to me. It's taken me a long time to sort it out, because it seemed to me with the Industrial Revolution in the mid-1800s that our contribution had to be doing substantial pollution to the environment. But while that's true, it's minuscule in terms of the forces of nature at work here. We are not artificially heating the Earth unless to a minuscule degree that's not going to threaten the extinction of life on Earth. But they're proceeding as though they could take that for granted, just as they're proceeding to vaccinate everyone as though you could take for granted that the pandemic is real and the vaccines are good, when we now have overwhelming evidence that the vaccines are not only bad, but they're actually deadly. These are lethal weapons. and whatever you do, you want to avoid the jab. Well, this woman, the bite, I mean, this has just become so blatant, it's so obvious, we're rubbing our noses in it. This woman, they want to be the controller of the currency, graduated from Moscow State University in 1989. She has nice things to say about the USSR, where Western-style liberties are non-existent. Countless millions died from man-made famines. That's going to be our fate, believe me. Arbitrary executions and the notorious Gulag Archipelago. She advocates consumer banking be taken over by the Fed, wants a government to direct where loans are made. In other words, she wants a government to take control of all the decisions that in a capitalist system are free market decisions. This is the person they want on the left. For the record, she advocates, she has communist and Marxist sympathies that she does not conceal. She has told the Financial Times that she's an easy target for criticism because she's an immigrant, a woman, and a minority. She doesn't mention there that she's a target because she's a radical communist Marxist who wants to destroy America. I mean, what could be more obvious? This is outrageous, entirely outrageous, and that they're nominating her to be this, the controller of the currency is revealing, extremely revealing. So if you have any doubt Biden's on board with Omarov thinking about fossil fuel, the White House has confirmed that the administration is studying the impact of shutting down the Enbridge Line 5 pipeline, which brings 540,000 barrels of oil a day, about 23 million gallons to the U.S. through the Straits of Mackinac from Ontario into Michigan. If you haven't noticed, gas prices are already sky high. After his opening day decision to shut down the Keystone XL pipeline, why would Biden consider shutting down another pipeline to make fuel prices to go even higher? Is he trying to destroy what the left sees as the deplorable middle America? Put the coal, gas, and oil industries out of business, nationalize the bank, what comes next? Hand over the rest of our hard-won freedoms to would-be globalist overlords, a genocidal globalist? That's what's going on. Biden's with them. This must be stopped. Mike Adams has been doing a brilliant job of reporting on all of these issues. He's impressed me simply tremendously. Is reporting how the Biden regime is shutting off fuel energy supplies as part of a wartime embargo against, guess who? We the people. Prepare for famine, collapse, and civil unrest. In his latest act of total welfare, Mike Adams reports, Joe Biden is pushing to shut down the Line 5 pipeline in Michigan that transports over 500,000 barrels of crude per day from Canada to Michigan, which is then processed and distributed throughout the Midwest. Without this pipeline, Midwestern states are going to face critical shortages of fuel this winter. At the same time, Biden's handlers are engineering a supply chain collapse, food shortages, and unrelenting inflation. Mind you, this is deliberate. This is deliberate. There are three stages in the master plan to eviscerate the population of the United States. Remember that Deagle.com projects the U.S. population is going to drop from 330 million in 2020 to 65 million in 2025. In 5 years, we're going to lose 265 million of our fellow citizens. And believe me, this is what they plan to do. And in my opinion, they're well on their way. It's the three stages of mass, which kill us slowly. Remember, Fauci and colleagues, Tony the Rat, did a study of the Spanish flu and found the mass majority of those who died during the Spanish flu did not die from the flu, but from bacterial pneumonia, lung infections, which it turns out are promoted by wearing masks. You may recall in the beginning, Fauci said there was no point in wearing a mask. Then he came around recognizing it could make a contribution. Remember, the virus is minuscule compared to the filters provided by these masks. The comparison roughly like a ping pong ball to a hula hoop. Those large You know, they can only block out very large items, particles, nothing the size of the flu. So it's ridiculous. Doesn't do any good, does tremendous harm. In fact, we know that constraining, you know, recycling oxygen-depleted air is going to deprive your bloodstream and your brain cells of oxygen they need to survive. Once those brain cells are gone, they're gone forever, unlike skin cells, which can regenerate. So you can, you know, repair damage to your skin. You cannot repair damage to your brain. I'm sorry to say, it just doesn't happen. So that what we have going on here is, in addition, strain on your cardiovascular system going to cause, you know, heart attacks. But now it turns out that, in fact, the second stage, you know, which kills us faster than vaccines, have properties that induce heart attacks. And now they're promoting the myth that children are appropriate to receive this when children have a 99.9999% survival rate, even if they were to get COVID. They're not at risk. But if they take the vax, it's a whole different story. And I'm telling you, the World Health Organization is now declaring that children who are in public schools, their parents have thereby granted de facto permission to vaccinate them, which is as criminal and insane as it gets. This is the World Health Organization declaring any parent who allows their child to go to a public school has granted permission to them to be vaccinated. The World Health Organization? Who the hell is the World Health Organization to be telling American parents what is their rights or wrongs? This is outrageous. And many American school boards and school systems are going along with it. I have footage where they're using National Guard troops to take kids out of middle school and vaccinate them behind the school without their parents' knowledge. This is outrageous. This is one of the reasons why Youngkin just wiped the floor with Terry McAuliffe, the buddy of Hillary. McAuliffe is opposed to parents having a role in the kids' education with CRT and all that other bullshit, all that other nonsense. Well, this is even more infuriating. The deliberate shutting down of this pipeline is an act of war against we the people. As the Biden regime transforms America's heartland into an active theater of war, which will soon face widespread food scarcity, energy scarcity, and inevitable civil unrest. I mentioned before, by the way, that the government's paying farmers to plow under their crops. I have several stories confirming it. We know, of course, this cargo breakdown of unloading ships at the port is deliberately contrived. Indeed, we had a very high figure, a deputy secretary of the Treasury, declare that the supply chain problem wouldn't be alleviated until every American took the vax. But what does taking a vax have to do with the supply chain? This is because they're implementing Henry Kissinger's suggestion that if you want to control a government, control its finances. If you want to control a people, control their food. This is part and parcel of an elaborate project to cut us off from food. And of course, you have some of these extreme zealots, these climate zealots, who even think that methane from cow farts contributes to global warming, which itself is not taking place, and want, therefore, to dispose of the meat industry. We're supposed to survive eating bugs and manufactured food made out of soy. I mean, I can't begin to tell you what kind of a science fiction nightmare we're entering here with these idiots in the Democrat Party who are endorsing climate change in complete ignorance of the laws of physics and thermodynamics. They have no idea what they're talking about, but they believe it. They believe it sincerely. Further evidence that we're dealing with utterly incompetent individuals who are going about destroying America. With alarm bells going off over Biden's deliberate destruction of the American economy, Texas Senator Ted Cruz is voicing what millions of Americans are already thinking. At some point, the remaining free states have to cut ties with Washington, D.C. and form their own new nation just to survive the planned civilization suicide being pursued by the demon-possessed Democrats. Now, the idea of balkanizing the United States by breaking into a whole little of subsections and all that seems to me not a really good idea. But the problem is, what can we do when we have an American government that's gone to war against the American people. This is an event unprecedented in American history. We have to do something about it. The fate of the American Republic has been sealed, declares an article in State of the Nation, authored by the armchair political philosopher. It warns, to survive, those conservative states populated with a critical number of patriots must expeditiously nullify the U.S. federal government for good. This is very serious. Some Americans continue to believe that the White Hats are still in charge, that Trump is secretly in power, with Biden acting as a puppet president to wake up the American people to the sheer terror of big government, big media, big pharma, and big tech, all conspiring to mass murder humanity. Well, they're right about what's going on with the mass murder of humanity, but sad to say, there's no reason to believe the White Hats are in charge, or that Trump could be returning to office anytime soon. Now, a giant step in the right direction. Appeals court permanently ends Biden OSHA civilian max mandate. Listen to this. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals rules unanimously to permanently block OSHA mandate from taking effect nationwide, effectively vacating Biden's executive order. The ruling sides with Texas, but is a nationwide injunction. One Reagan and two Trump judges made the ruling, citing a tweet by the mainstream media regarding the White House chief of staff, admitting the Biden administration was seeking to circumvent the Constitution to force people to be vaccinated. The only appeal now is through Justice Alito to the Supreme Court. It's been a busy evening when it comes to vaccine tyranny first. Breaking. Oklahoma National Guard's new top general ends the COVID vaccine mandate. Second, U.S. Federal Appellate Court affirms a hold on Biden's vaccine mandate, calls it staggeringly overbroad. Biden's vaccine mandate raises serious constitutional concerns and likely exceeds the federal government's authority. Here's a couple of passages from the decision. We consider the necessity of the mandate. The mandate is staggeringly overbroad, applying to 2 out of 3 private sector employees in America. In workplaces as diverse as the country itself, the mandate fails to consider what is perhaps the most salient fact of all. The ongoing threat of COVID-19 is more dangerous to some employees than to other employees, all else equal. A 28-year-old trucker spending the bulk of his workday in the solitude of his cab is simply less vulnerable to COVID-19 than a 62-year-old prison janitor. Likewise, a naturally immune unvaccinated worker is presumably at less risk than an unvaccinated worker who has never had the virus. The list goes on, but one constant remains. The mandate fails almost completely to address or even respond to much of this reality and common sense. Here's another. It bears noting the mandate raises serious constitutional concerns that either make it more likely the petitioners will succeed on the merits or at least counsel against adopting OSHA's broad reading as a matter of statutory interpretation. The mandate likely exceeds the federal government's authority under the Commerce Clause because it regulates non-economic inactivity that falls squarely within the state's police power. A person's choice to remain unvaccinated and forgo regular testing is non-economic inactivity. And the mandate that a person receive a vaccine or undergo testing falls squarely within the state's police power. Now, here I've reported before, but let me remind you of 2 experts on OSHA from Michigan had to say, in reality, this standard, the mandate, was promulgated illegally. The President of the United States does not have statutory authority to demand a regulatory agency create a new standard. In addition, OSHA does not have jurisdiction over vaccines. This belongs to the regulatory agencies of Health and Human Services and the FDA. OSHA regulates workplace health and safety like slips, trips, falls, machine guarding, protection from airborne hazards, dust, fumes, chemicals, vapors. They do not have the authority to mandate that employees inject anything into their bodies to control hazards, as vaccines are not a control measure for a hazard. OSHA cannot legally view unvaccinated workers as a hazard. In order for OSHA to cite any organization for violation of their health and safety standards, they must cite a standard that has been violated. To date, there has been no COVID standard created. Therefore, any penalties, citations, or administrative admonishments should be null and void. Any organization that has received OSHA fines over the past year should demand a full refund of those fines, including damages, and that your company record be expunged from the citation. There is so much wrong with all of this. We cannot be afraid to stand up against it, expose it for what it is. The cracks are beginning to show. The dominoes are beginning to fall. I think that is absolutely right. But we must get a handle on this before the country is destroyed. We even have a totally false claim of a vaccine having been approved for children. But it's not the case that it has taken place. Miles Mathis, who's quite a brilliant guy and whom I admire greatly, has exposed the charade once again, as he has in so many other cases, which I'm going to share with you when we come back from our break. But let me tell you, we've never been in a situation before where an American government has gone to war with the American people and taken so many measures that intended to harm us and actually decimate up to 265 million Americans in a five-year period. Stunning, absolutely stunning stuff. And we must confront the grim reality or we'll be helpless in doing anything to cope with it. Stand by. We'll be right back after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I'll come back to Miles Mathis about the child vaccination not having been granted, but let me observe first. Florida Governor DeSantis is threatening to send the illegal immigrants to Biden's home state of Delaware. I think this is a brilliant move. If they're going to come here, we'll provide buses. We'll send them to Delaware and do that, he said to the migrants. This is exactly right. Flooding the borders, by the way, just having no borders at all is a sure way to destroy America. Economists have long known you cannot combine a welfare state with open borders, but that's exactly what Biden's doing. In other words, there are a half a dozen indications, each of which is a sufficient condition to show Biden is out to destroy America. And this isn't even the real Joe Biden. This is a guy who has a different shape and size of skull. He has different colored eyes. He has different interaction with Jill. There are a whole host of issues. He has a different signature. This is a sock puppet. And that's what they wanted, a sock puppet, because no responsible person would preside over the destruction of America. But that's exactly what they're doing. And therefore, they needed someone who would be compliant, who would have no intelligence, no comprehension of the words he's using or the actions he's taking. So included among those, of course, is to vitiate the enforcement of our border rules. We have a massive influx. This is a part of what's known as a clergy plan, which was devised by a Zionist Jew back in the 1930s. To destroy European civilization by flooding it with African immigrants, and it's been going on apace, where Angela Merkel has been instrumental here in the destruction of Europe, for which she ought to be tried and shot. Then we have this going on here in America, promoted by the Biden regime. Trump had, in fact, successfully shut it off, basically down to nothing, so that because we didn't have this constant influx of migrants who were taking away jobs from the lowest earning wage earners. They were finding their wages rising at the highest pace. And as I've many times reported, Rasmussen in December of 2019, before the election, found that 40% of black likely voters were going to support Trump. Well, the Democrats know they can't win any elections if they don't have black support, and because Trump was actually doing something that benefited them, they were losing the support of the black community and therefore going to lose every election. This is why they had to use a coronavirus to justify mail-in balloting, which is highly known to be instrumental in stealing elections. Even third world nations won't use mail-in ballots because they're so easy to manipulate. And we have a vast amount of proof that that's exactly what happened to bring in this totally corrupt regime where, you know, Joe Biden hiding in the basement, Trump not being able to have his massive rallies. Look, Trump is a flawed human being, but in my opinion, he cares about America. He's an American. He puts America first. Biden is just the opposite, whoever this guy is. He's putting America last. He doesn't believe in the United States. He's out to destroy it. Reports began surfacing in October that the Biden admin was flying plane loads of illegal immigrants from Texas to New York in an effort to resettle them in the region. An op-ed column from the New York Post accused Biden of playing a deadly game using secret flights to move migrants. They were also reported going to Florida. And when White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked about them, she defended the action, saying it should be no surprise they're doing it, which was implying that they actually are doing it, even though they were only talking about the time as being in the dead of the night when they took place. The issue with the illegals being flown to Florida came to the forefront when the Post, once again, reported a 24-year-old Honduran national charged with murder had entered the country claiming to be a 17-year-old unaccompanied minor. Unfortunately, there was a tragic situation. One of the illegals Biden flew in committed a murder in Florida, DeSantis told Sean Hannity. The individual who died would be alive had Biden not been doing this. And of course, it's disgusting. Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody wouldn't confirm that the man charged had been on one of the flights, but I have no doubt he actually was. We can obviously deny them state contracts, which we'll do. Can we deny them access to Florida's market generally? Can we tax them? Can we do things to provide disincentives so they can't do it? He's talking about relations with a federal government and why, you know, individuals like Mike Adams are suggesting there may be a necessity for secession among the various states. Biden insisted illegal migrants who were separated deserve payment up to $450,000. This is lunatic, completely lunatic. DeSantis slammed the proposal to pay illegal immigrants. We've had all kinds of really bad policies throughout our country that have limited freedom. And you're going to turn around for that and you're going to give $450,000 for an individual who came illegally to this country? What about the American citizens who belong here? Mark Thiessen, who's one of the commentators I admire, he's a columnist, has an opinion piece I want to share with you. Democrats are lying about critical race theory. It's become a refrain on the left and its media echo chamber following Glenn Youngkin's victory in the Virginia race. Critical race theory is not being taught in schools. PBS White House correspondent Yamiche Alcindor accused Republicans of winning by lying about critical race theory. Mark Warner, a senator from Virginia, declared there's not a school in Virginia that teaches critical race theory. Those who say otherwise were told are dishonest, typing a fake CRT thread, promoting an imaginary issue to manipulate low information people, engaging in race-baiting lies, blowing a racist dog whistle. But as Mark Thiessen observes, this is demonstrably, this is provably false. Virginia's Loudoun County Public Schools, ground zero in the debate of the role of parents in kids' education, paid $134,000 of taxpayer money for critical race theory coaching for its teachers from the Equity Collaborative, a consulting firm that turns critical race theory into practices for building more equitable learning environments. In its presentation, Introduction to Critical Race Theory, the Equity Collaborative instructs teachers that racism is an inherent part of American civilization and attacks ideas of colorblindness, the neutrality of the law, incremental change, and equal opportunity for all. Look how fundamental those are to American democracy, that we're colorblind, that race doesn't matter with regard to equal justice under law, The neutrality of the law is absolutely fundamental. Incremental change, that means reform rather than revolution. It means recall election, periodic replacement of our representatives, equal opportunity for all. They're trashing those ideas as merely being mechanism for maintaining whites' power and strongholds within society, which is just about as absurd as it gets. I mean, look, how many of our athletes whom we admire are black, not white? How many television ads you see today that feature blacks, not whites, or other minorities? They're ubiquitous. How many of those prominent political figures who are claiming about, you know, white power, like Maxine Waters, are in fact not white but black? How could we possibly elect a black man president of the United States not once but twice if we were a systemically racist society? This is just absurd. They're asking us to believe things that are manifestly false. And really, it's been observed that those who can induce you to believe absurdities can also induce you to commit atrocities, no doubt about it. It even questions the idea of meritocracy, namely that persons have differences in their ability, their accomplishments, their skills, which allows the empowered to feel good and have a clear conscience. I mean, look, but blacks are undoubtedly better at athletics. Look at the relative composition of NBA football and basketball teams. They're predominantly black. They're not as good intellectually. In fact, you know, I've done research on the evolution of race. I have a book by Evolution of Intelligence. And there are clearly established racial differences. These are genetically based. There's nothing figmentary. There's no social construction here, as the Democrats would have you believe. In other words, they're basing all this on flawed sociology, on a fake theory, false claims about the relationship between race and intelligence. Historically, in terms of IQ tests and the like, whites have averaged 100. Asians are about 110. Jews actually are the highest performing on these tests, about 118. Blacks, largely inferior, around 80. So you just can't expect the same kind of intellectual accomplishment. I mean, every one of us is different in terms of our physical abilities, our skills, and our intellectual abilities. And of course, it's true across groups in terms of the average. The blacks are better athletes. They're better athletes. Some would argue they're better at music and dance and like. Well, I mean, I think that's up for debate, but it's certainly within a ballpark of reasonable competition or debate or discussion, but not the fact that, you know, how much time and effort has been spent on this. In fact, you know, one of the most important books ever published on this subject, called The Bell Curve, was immediately lacerated and lampooned and denied by liberals who can't accept that there could be genetically based differences between the races. Well, that's leading to all kinds of absurdities, such as the claim that differences in performance in high school, for example, where blacks are clearly performing less well than whites, have to be explainable on the basis of discrimination and white power, because they're assuming that blacks and whites are equal in all these abilities. Well, we're not equal athletically, so why should you assume we're equal intellectually? We're not equal intellectually. And of course, it's a bell curve distribution. You have outstanding, brilliant blacks, just as you have athletic, superior whites. But the fact is, on the average, blacks are not competitive intellectually, and whites are not as competitive athletically. I mean, these are just facts. And if you go on and want to base your policies on falsehoods, on false beliefs, like those on which the Democrats are basing their beliefs, then you're going to get a nation into all kinds of trouble, which is going on right here, right now, with the Democrats, who've gone whole hog with this idea that our society is systemically racist. It's absurd. What society has ever been less racist than the United States? We had a civil war. We saw over slavery. Actually, the institution of slavery goes back to the ancient Egyptians and the Mesopotamians. Slavery has been an institutionalized practice of countries, nations, for thousands of years. The Democrats would have you believe it was invented by Republicans. In fact, it was the Democrats who were the primary slaveholders, the Democrats, not the Republicans. So this is all bullshit from beginning to end, bullshit from beginning to end. That's all we get from the Democrat, bullshit piled upon more bullshit, piled upon even more. One Loudoun County parent filed a public record request to find out what took place in these sessions and obtain the set of talking points used by the Equity Collaborative to train Virginia teachers. They were encouraged not to profess color blindness, but to admit their own racist, sexist, heterosexist, and other detrimental attitudes, beliefs, behaviors, and feelings, acknowledging that addressing one's whiteness, white privilege, is crucial for effective teaching. In other words, whites are supposed to regard themselves as bad guys. Being white is supposed to be bad. Well, I don't want anyone to believe that being black is bad. I certainly don't believe that to be true. I've had good friends who were black. I don't even think twice. I don't think about a person's color of their skin or even their religion for that matter. It wasn't until 2008 when I gave my first public speech at a Ron Paul Freedom Rally on Tax Day, April 15th, on the grass in front of the Capitol of the United States, that I addressed the difference between Zionism and Judaism, pointing out that Zionists, you know, have a policy of belief in their own superiority, and that the Zionists, and why aren't the Democrats addressing this, believe that the other races only exist to serve as slaves for the Jews. I mean, you know, here's a good one for the Democrats. Talk about the Zionist Hamitic Jews who believe in racial superiority of the Jews and that the other human races, black and white alike, only exist to serve the Jews. Their ultimate vision is to have a world of slaves serving the Jews. In fact, I asked, how they arrived at 500 million as being the ideal population for the world. Then I got a commentary back that if you look at the number of Jews in the world and that the Talmud suggests every Jew is entitled to 40 slaves, that's what's going on there. It wound up, you need 500 million for every Jew to have 40 slaves. Now, I've not been able to verify that, but it's certainly not implausible. And when you look at what's going on, the massive way in which the country is being fed all kinds of false information about vaccines, the virus, threats to the environment, racial inequalities, it's all bullshit. There is, in my opinion, only one force powerful enough to control our media, to control the CDC, to control the World Health Organization, to control even the American Medical Association. And that is the Rothschild banking empire. We know they own Reuters, they own the AP, and we know the overwhelming majority in the mainstream media turn out to be Israelis. I have a panel of 100 executives from CNN. All 100 executives from CNN are dual U.S. Israeli citizens. I have another panel of 100 executives from NBC. Every one of the 100 executives from NBC is a dual U.S. Israeli citizen. I have another 100 executives from the New York Times, every one of whom is a dual U.S. Israeli citizen. They went all in against Donald Trump and all out for Biden-Harris because Trump would not bomb Iran. Trump did some bad things to benefit Israel, moving our embassy to Jerusalem, silly, declaring the Golan Heights to be Israeli territory, blatantly violative of international law because the Golan Heights is Israeli-occupied Syrian territory. Defunding the UN Refugee Agency, assisting the Palestinians, that was grossly immoral. Then by executive order, redefining anti-Semitism to include criticism of the actions of the government and policies of Israel, that was an atrocity in and of itself. I cannot forgive Donald Trump for that. but he did so much good for America, putting us on a sound economic footing, cracking down on the border, making us energy independent, all of which are being unraveled, all of which are being unraveled by the Biden administration. And when it comes to critical race theory, it's not just Loudoun County. In 2019, the Virginia State Superintendent of Public Instruction, James F. Lane, sent a memo to all school districts promoting critical race theory training, declaring CRT has proved an important analytic tool in the field of education, offering critical perspectives on race and the causes, consequences, and manifestation of race, racism, inequity, and the dynamics of power and privilege in schooling. And as Manhattan Institute senior fellow Christopher Rufo points out, right now on its website, the Virginia Department of Education recommends critical race theory in education as a best practice and derives its definition of racism, white supremacy, and education equity explicitly from critical race theory. This is true in other states as well. In New York City, school administrators were required to undergo training sessions where they learned that objectivity and individualism were elements of white supremacy culture. In California, students as young as six are being taught CRT-inspired lessons of white privilege and structural racism. The left CRT denial is intellectually dishonest. Remember, this is Mark Thiessen. Just because grade school students are not studying academic treatises on critical race theory does not mean it's not being taught. Most of these students are also not reading Karl Marx. But if they were being instructed by teachers trained in Marxist thought to see everything through the prism of class struggle, they would be learning Marxism. Well, today's children are being instructed by teachers trained in critical race theory to see everything through the prism of race, to believe the United States is a systemically racist country, and to believe that society is divided into two classes, oppressors and oppressed, and that which you are is determined by the color of your skin. That is critical race theory. Democrats are gaslighting American parents, telling them not to believe what they can see with their own eyes. Before the pandemic, this might have worked. Most parents didn't know firsthand what their children were being taught. But during last year's lockdown, that changed. Millions of parents were stuck working from home, and their kids were attending school online, which allowed parents to see for the first time what their kids were learning in the classroom. Many did not like what they saw, nor did they like being told that the promotion of critical race theory is a figment of their imagination, when in Virginia, it's right on the Department of Education website for all to see. So they rose up to demand change. Yet even after the electoral shellacking, Democrats are doubling down on the strategy of denigrating parents for raising legitimate concerns about their children's education. Sorry, parents know that critical race theory is a real problem. And if Democrats continue telling parents their concerns are imaginary, they will continue to pay a price at the polls. Meanwhile, a former Bill Clinton advisor is warning Biden needs to get out of bed with his own party or be doomed in the midterms. Mark Penn stated, Biden administration is seen as being too left, the Democratic Party too left. He believed Democrats need to change their course and move closer to the center. Progressive activists and strategists began firing shots at moderates immediately after Youngkin's win, declared they'd continue to push left-wing policies up until the 2022 election. Penn believes New Jersey and Virginia races are a sign for things to come if Biden doesn't distance himself from their policies. But Biden's just a stooge. He's not going to change. He doesn't have the capacity to do it. He's just a sock puppet. Penn stated even though there were signs over the past few months the left was gaining too much influence over the Democrat Party, he believes that Biden has maintained its course and not changed anything. Biden's push for infrastructure and social spending programs to the finish line saw intra-party fighting reach a favor pitch. The infrastructure package was passed with the support of more than a dozen House Republicans. However, his social spending package is in much greater danger. Indeed, there are predictions that Build Back Better is dead in the water. Both West Virginia Senator Manchin and Arizona Senator Sinema have hindered the progressive agenda. Penn believes that Biden needs to be pushed more toward the center by a midterm vote, and that he doesn't believe Biden will make the change unless the voters send a strong signal. When he worked alongside President Clinton, it took the 94 congressional election to serve as a wake-up call. Clinton moved from kind of working for the left to working for the center. Penn stated he doesn't think we're going to see that from Biden. He said they may, like Clinton, take strong messages in the midterm to make an happen. Well, I'll tell you, what's going to happen in the midterm is going to be devastating for the Republicans. Right now, Joe Biden has committed a half a dozen or more impeachable acts. I have no doubt about it. It's only because the Democrats are in charge of the House and have control, slender though it may be, of the Senate, that nothing is going to happen. I predict the Republicans are going to lose as many as 100 seats in the House. Frankly, I do not believe it's going to be a change from which they can ever recover. And frankly, while it's bad for the party, it's good for the country. The Democrats have sold out America. They're working for somebody else. And whether it's a Chinese communist or the Rothschild banking empire, they could care less about American citizens and their life and their welfare and the future of the nation. They have sold us out. And the fact that they're exploiting the pandemic again and again to benefit themselves politically is a disgrace. And when we return, I'll share with you what Miles Massis has to say about vaccine approval for children. It hasn't happened. We are being played again and again and again. I'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I have a high opinion of Miles Mathis. He may not always be correct, but he's a brilliant guy, and he frequently catches things that others miss. He's just published the following piece: vaccine approval for children? No. Almost no one is noticing the vaccine approved for children is Pfizer's BioNTech vaccine, which is not fully approved for adults. So how can it be approved for children? Remember, the FDA approved Pfizer's new commentary vaccine for adults, not the BioNTech vaccine. And the commentary vaccine doesn't really exist. You will tell me the approval for children is just emergency use, but that is illegal since a government is not allowed to approve an emergency use vaccine when a normal use approval has been granted. If commentary is the same as BioNTech, why not fully approve commentary for children as it is for adults? It makes no sense. You will say it's because commentary hasn't hit the market yet, but that also proves two things. There is no full approval of any existing vaccine, and the whole announcement is nothing more than a fraud. Most people think the vaccine for adults has full approval, but they have been conned. The vaccine they're getting is BioNTech, which does not have full approval and which has no legal backing. Pfizer is still exempt from all lawsuits with both children and adults. Beyond that, we are now finding out the Pfizer vaccine for children is neither BioNTech nor commentary, since the list of ingredients is admitted to be different than either one by the CDC and the FDA. A vaccine is defined by its list of ingredients, and if that list changes, it's no longer the same vaccine, by definition. They have added an important new ingredient, that being an anti-heart attack blood thinner, thermethamine, to combat blood clotting. So the vaccine for children is even more dangerous than the vaccine adults have been taking, with an extra poison in it. If your children get the vaccine, they'll be shut up, not only with dangerous and untested mRNA technology, spike proteins, and graphene adjuvants, They will at the same time be shot up with heart attack drugs originally created for old people and untested on five-year-olds. Five-year-olds don't normally get heart attacks, do they? So there'd be no reason to have previously tested trimethoprim on them. Another problem just being noticed is the vaccine and trimethylene are meant to be given in different ways. One indicated for introduction into muscle. One indicated for introduction into a vein. If you introduce a vaccine into a vein, you can cause problems. And if you don't introduce trimethoprim into a vein, you can cause problems. So they appear to be mixing drugs with counterindications in some wild attempt to cover their ass on blood clotting, and they are using our children as guinea pigs for this insanity. But what do they do? What do they care? They aren't liable for any of this. Every child in America could die a horrible death, and they would still make billions scot-free. They have already murdered tens of thousands of people and aren't being hunted with pitchforks, so they figure the sky is the limit on murdering for profit these days. And while the head of Pfizer is calling people who question his vaccines criminals, many countries in the world are banning it or pausing it due to the extreme harm being done. Mainstream outlets have admitted major problems with the Pfizer from the beginning, including this MS.com article from February and a Daily Mail from March. The last admits Pfizer has been linked to more blood clots than AstraZeneca, though AstraZeneca has been banned or paused in many more first world countries. Why? We may assume bigger payoffs or arm twisting. Officials in Italy are quoted admitting it's political, which means it's based on corporate pressure, of course, which is normally wielded through money. The Daily Mail article itself is an example, since it goes on to claim no vaccine has any unusual risk level and there's no risk link between the vaccines and the clot. What? They seem to be saying A and not A in the same article, which is, again, indication of multiple writers and corporate arm twisting. But Pfizer itself is now admitting blood clotting is a problem by adding this blood thinner to the new vaccine. If blood clotting is not caused by the vaccine, why combine it with a blood thinner? This is also informative. Pfizer not only required a liability waiver from countries like Argentina and Brazil, it required collateral and guaranteed funds with assets like banks and military bases being put up as seizable assets. So you wonder why things went south with Bolsonaro, this president of Brazil. Now you know. He was targeted by Pfizer for not following orders. The entire Western Hemisphere is now just a puppet and banana republic of Pfizer. So this is one more crime in a chain of outrageous crimes against humanity. You may say, anyone stupid enough to accept one of these vaccines deserves what he gets. But that isn't the case with children who aren't making their own decisions here. They are absolute victims, both of this crime against humanity and of the ignorance and gullibility and misplaced trust of their parents. That's simply sensational. Meanwhile, Rents posted the following. Five-year-old vax child lies in hospital bed after suffering mini heart attack. From Facebook. His first meal in 4 days since coming out of a coma as a result of his mini heart attack. So thankful he's vaccinated with all the sick people in this place. But of course, he only had the heart attack because he was vaxxed. I mean, this is bad. Here we have more. Pfizer secretly added heart attack drug to children's COVID. This, of course, is following up or explaining what's going on with what we learned from Miles Mathis. So the FDA needs to be defunded and disbanded. So now many want to know why Pfizer felt the need to replace PBS with Tris and the children's version of its Fauci flu jab. Does the company know that without it, fully vaccinated children will likely experience visible heart attacks? Is Tris being added to these children's vials to try to cover up the cardiovascular events that they cause or at least minimize them? Why is none of this being reported by the mainstream media? There are many questions without answers. And since so few are asking in the first place, there may never be any answers unless the people start demanding them. The FDA claims it conducted a thorough and transparent evaluation of the data. But how can this be the case when the entire jab formula was changed under cover of darkness? According to the expose, there's overwhelming evidence against the safety of the vaccine, and now a change in the formula used in clinical trials for emergency use should never have been granted. Children do not ever get sick from COVID in the first place. So why do they need a useless and dangerous vaccine that contains hidden heart attack medications? Get this. Among the many side effects caused by TRIS, this new additive about which Miles Mathis was talking, are respiratory depression, local irritation, tissue inflammation, injection site infection, febrile response, chemical phlebitis, venospasm, vein spasms, hypervolemia, IV thrombosis, extravasation with possible necrosis and slowing of tissues, transparent decreases in blood glucose concentrations, hypoglycemia, and hepatic necrosis with infusion via low-level umbilical venous catheters. These adverse effects are far worse than a few COVID sniffles, assuming a child develops symptoms at all. Spoiler alert, most children don't. They are changing the jab recipe all the time, as it's experimental for all age groups, wrote one commentator. If nobody can take legal action against the pharma companies, then what is there to stop them? One person pointed out TRIS is a synthetic skincare additive that's considered to be an irritant. Sounds delightful. Just what you want flowing around your body through your heart, lungs, and so on. It's a chemical irritant. Meanwhile, we have this incredible ad of kids.
All of us want to be superheroes. And the most important heroes are those that help others. This year, thousands of kids like us around the world joined the COVID-19 vaccine trial.
Kid Power.
And when they did, they became all superheroes.
Ah!
All the
I'm sorry, I broke the plane.
These
are kids who are promoting COVID, so they're using kids to the jab. So these are using kids to promote a vaccine that's going to harm kids. It's just despicable what's going on here. Look for it, and you'll find it. Meanwhile, Edward Hendry at Great Mountain Publishing has pointed out myocarditis, this is these mini heart attacks, is irreversible. Once the heart muscle is damaged, it cannot be repaired by the body. This is a devastating condition. Dr. Rogers explains that over the course of several years, many of those children will die. Dr. Anthony Hinton, consultant surgeon with 30 years of experience in the National Health Service, points out that myocarditis has a 20% fatality rate after 2 years, a 50% fatality rate after 5 years. He poignantly explains you can't have myocarditis in the same way you can't be a little bit pregnant. And here we have what you cannot see, a series of images of athletes. These are like soccer players at the peak of their physical ability, who are falling over and collapsing with heart attacks. I mean, it's just stunning. I regret you can't see it, but here's one, a soccer player just falling over dead. He's out on the field with his other soccer players, and he just falls over dead. Boom, down, dead. And it goes on and on, and on, and on, and on, and on, and on. We're having one athlete after another. Meanwhile, the CDC admits it has no record of an unvaccinated person spreading COVID after recovering from COVID. That would be me, for example. I've recovered from COVID. I'm unvaccinated. They have no record of anyone who's unvaccinated spreading COVID after recovering from COVID. A New York attorney fired a FOIA request in September asking for documents reflecting any documented case of an individual who, one, never received a COVID vaccine, two, was infected with COVID once, recovered, and then became infected again, and three, transmitted COVID to another person when reinfected. The CDC responded, a search of our records fails to reveal any documents pertaining to your request. The CDC Emergency Operations Center conveyed this information is not collected. Well, isn't that incredible? It ought to be collected. Here we have a photograph, happens to be two photographs of the same guy. Listen to this. On the left is a current member of the board of directors of Pfizer. On the right is a chairman and CEO of Reuters, in charge of informing people neutrally about Pfizer and its side effects. Pfizer got tired of paying billions in fines for illegal marketing practices, so they just bought the media. Same guy. Same guy. Meanwhile, Gage Rosenkreutz, whose bicep was vaporized by Kyle Rittenhouse, testified at the trial. He pointed his gun at Rittenhouse before the defendant fired at him. Defense attorney Corey Christopher got Rosenkreutz to admit that several statements he made to police after the shooting included incorrect details or omitted others. One major omission was that Rosenkreutz pointed a gun at Rittenhouse before Rittenhouse fired on him, adding that Rosenkreutz initially told police he dropped his gun at some point during the incident, never mentioning he pointed it at Rittenhouse. Here's part of the testimony where during which Rosenkreutz says Rittenhouse vaporized his bicep. That's on YouTube. Rosenkreutz was carrying a concealed Glock that night, but said his concealed carry permit had expired at the time. He told prosecutors earlier he attended the protest as a medic, wasn't seeking to be an active participant. But the Journal Sentinel said he admitted upon further questioning that he spoke at a rally hosted by the People's Revolution, a Milwaukee-based group that has protested against police violence, and made such statements as, long live the revolution. He also said he's a member of the group, but has an affiliation with it. Rosenkreutz also said his failure to tell police he pointed his gun at Rittenhouse wasn't intentional, noting the police interviewed him after surgery while he was still on pain medication and coming down from the traumatic events of the shooting. He testified he put his hands in the air after Rittenhouse shot Anthony Huber and then saw Rittenhouse re-rack his rifle, after which he figured Rittenhouse wouldn't accept his surrender and then move toward Rittenhouse. He also testified he wasn't intentionally pointing his gun at Rittenhouse. And I asked, how's it possible that he pointed his gun at Rittenhouse, but it wasn't intentional? I was never trying to kill the defendant. That was not something I was trying to do in that moment. I was trying to preserve my own life. But doing so while also taking the life of another is not something I'm capable of or comfortable doing. That goes against almost a lifelong ethical code I've lived by in regard to medicine. Right, of course. Rosenkreutz also denied ever saying his only regret was not killing the kid and that he wanted to empty his entire mag into Rittenhouse, comments a former roommate attributed to Rosenkreutz. Town Hall senior writer Julia Rosa tweeted the former roommate in question, Jacob Marshall, was in the courtroom but is now gone after being served a subpoena. I suspect that's because they think he might be called as a witness, except now the case has gone to closing arguments, which are taking place as we speak, and will shortly be sent to the jury for trial. Kyle, of course, took the stand on his own defense, which wasn't expected, but he did, in my opinion, a wonderful job of it. I'm very impressed with what I know about this young man. Meanwhile, Tucker has been doing a marvelous job about the Rittenhouse trial. A rapist called Joseph Rosenbaum died as he had lived, trying to touch an unwilling minor. Fox News host Tucker Carlson weighed in on the latest developments. in a move that surprised lawyers, Rittenhouse took the stand in his own defense. That's unusual in criminal cases, especially unusual in a murder trial. The reason is simple. The stakes are too high. One wrong answer and you could end up spending life in prison. But this case was different. By the time he testified today, so this is Tucker a couple days ago, Kyle Rittenhouse had already won the case. At this point, there was no remaining doubt that Kyle Rittenhouse acted in self-defense during the riots last summer in Kenosha. Every shot Rittenhouse fired was captured on videotape and from multiple angles. Every single witness who testified this week at the trial confirmed exactly what happened, and here are the facts of it. A convicted child rapist called Joseph Rosenbaum was released from a mental hospital and then went directly to join the mob that was burning down Kenosha. Once he got to the riot, Rosenbaum saw Kyle Rittenhouse and immediately threatened to kill him. Rosenbaum then chased Rittenhouse and tried to pull the gun from his hands. When he did that, Kyle Rittenhouse shot him. So Joseph Rosenbaum died as he had lived, trying to touch an unwilling minor. Really wonderful, wonderful by Tucker, who's, in my opinion, been doing a simply super job with this. Meanwhile, the judge in the Rittenhouse case cleared the jury and shouted at the woke prosecutor for grave constitutional violations, talking about Kyle's right to remain silent, where he'd already censured him, told him not to bring it up, and then further issues. I mean, it's just absurd what was going on here. Meanwhile, we have a story about a 71-year-old man, Robert Cobb, who is minding his own business when civil unrest enveloped the area near his home in Kenosha following the police shooting of Jacob Blake. Cobb did what he could to save the 100-year-old Danish Brotherhood Lodge after it was sacked by rioters. And this is exactly what could have happened to Kyle Rittenhouse. He was beaten to death viciously for trying to put out fires. The night before, Rittenhouse had run-ins with Anthony Huber, Joseph Rosenbaum, and Gage Grossenkrantz. Cobb had attempted to protect the historic building with a fire extinguisher. At one point, he began spraying rioters with a fire extinguisher, as he would later explain, so they might take off their masks and be filmed. He hoped he might identify them. He was hit in the head with concrete, suffered a broken jaw, and needed stitches on his head. I mean, nasty, nasty, nasty stuff. Meanwhile, we have a very thoughtful piece. Turns out, I mean, here are a couple of peculiarities. The Rittenhouse trial judge is allowing the jury to consider the possibility that Kyle provoked the attack, which has been their line all along. They want to claim that he even was there, was provocative, and therefore meant that he couldn't take advantage of the Stand Your Ground law in Wisconsin if he, in fact, had been the one who provoked all of this. In my opinion, that's ridiculous, and the jury is going to see right through it. But the judge said Friday he would allow the jury to consider several lesser charges in addition to the murder charges, which they're requesting because they know they have lost the case. Judge Schroeder, who appears to me to be a very good, responsible judge of integrity, said he would issue his final ruling Saturday, but made some findings from the bench to indicate how he was inclined to rule. At one point, he told Rittenhouse, with the lesser charges, you're raising the risk of conviction, though you're avoiding the possibility the jury will end up compromising on more serious crimes. You're also decreasing the risk you'll end up with a second trial because the jury is unable to agree. The prosecutors said they plan to ask the judge to allow the jury to consider lesser versions of two of the murder charges, including those related to the shooting of Grosskreutz and Huber. They would include reckless homicide or second degree rather than first degree murder. Frankly, I don't believe any of this is responsible. I don't believe he'll be convicted on any of these charges. Here's a curiosity. A search warrant for Grossenkamp's phone was not executed by the Kenosha police. There are detectives who claim that they've never heard. Here, Detective Martin Howard revealed that following the incident, officers were granted a search warrant to search Grossenkreutz's phone, but for some reason, no one took advantage of it. He said it's the only time during his 3 years working as a detective a warrant has not been executed. I believe this is part of a cover-up. Meanwhile, I sent a letter to the Wisconsin State Journal, to the editor, because they had published a piece that whether he's found guilty or not guilty, that he was wrong. I don't believe that for a second. Here's my letter entitled "Rioting Good, Self-Defense Bad." Editor: it's embarrassing that you have published an ideological defense of the Rittenhouse prosecution where three members of the same family, the mayor, the DA, and the detective, appear to have conspired against Kyle to deny his legal rights. Kyle took a citizen's commitment to defend property and human rights more seriously than the Kenosha police, who stood down while looting and rioting was taking place. He sought to provide medical assistance for which he was attacked. A meticulous legal analysis by Andrew Branca provides a thorough and detailed exoneration on every count. That's why the prosecution now wants to include lesser charges. They know they have no case. Kyle was kicked in the face by one rioter. Another tried to break his neck with a skateboard. A third admitted he had a handgun and was pointing it at Kyle, who shot him in the arm. They, not Kyle, were the aggressors. It's insulting for anyone to suggest that he was acting as a vigilante and patrolling with illegally obtained guns, neither of which appears to be the case. On the contrary, Kyle's actions were heroic. As a former Marine Corps officer who has supervised 15 DIs and 300 recruits through basic training, his performance was admirable. The attacks were imminent and deadly. His actions were reasonable. The media and its allies must attack Kyle, because his example of self-defense is inspiring, and he showed the world why an AR-15 might make a difference for the public good. He deserves our admiration. James H. Fetzer, PhD. I'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio. every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
While I offer further reflections on the Rittenhouse trial, which seems to me to be very, very important on multiple grounds, I want to invite anyone who'd like to call in. Mitchell will take your call, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452, to discuss any of these issues, or if you have something else you'd like to raise, that's okay too. I believe that the motion that was submitted by the defense to declare a mistrial with prejudice because of the prosecution's misconduct was completely warranted. I believe the judge may still have the opportunity to exercise that. But the misconduct by the prosecution was exceptional. They were, you know, violating previous rulings a judge had made in this various in this specific case, including not to be able to raise the fact that he had exercised his right to silence in the meanwhile, that he hadn't given interviews with the media. And I think there are many reasons why it would be appropriate for him not to be talking about the case in advance of the trial. But where they sought to bring it, you know, make it out to be an indication of his guilt, where the judge went after him and said, you know, it's been established law for 40, 50 years. I think this is based on Miranda. That an accused has the right to silence and that it's improper to draw any inference from the exercise of that right. So when they brought it up, the prosecutors, these are very, in my opinion, very shabby people. When they brought it up, they were trying to violate his right to silence, and the judge excoriated them for that and perfectly appropriately. Also, it turns out that there was some footage from a couple of weeks earlier where looting was taking place, and apparently Kyle was in a car, and he was heard to observe, you know, expressing contempt for the looters and saying how he wished he had his AR-15 with him. Whether he said anything about shooting him is a good question, but the prosecutor wanted to introduce that, which a judge also excluded, to suggest that Kyle had a mindset where he was willing to shoot people even if the circumstances didn't justify it. Now, I've done quite a lot of reporting about the trial, particularly with David Zublik, who has a show called, Dark Outpost, an hour of which is called The Inner Circle, that I gather is only available to subscribers, where we have been doing, I think now already, two or three shows on Kyle Rittenhouse, and we'll have yet another on Wednesday, by which time, no doubt, the jury will have spoken and, tie it all together. But I personally believe the media had to go after Kyle. In fact, here's a nice meme out there. The media has no choice but to hate Kyle. He defended himself against the monster they created and showed the world why someone would need an AR-15 with 30 rounds. Because the Democrats, of course, are pushing a gun control agenda, even though it's clear we're sick of it. I mean, once they started to promote defund the police, they had, essentially destroyed their own slogan with all the rioting and looting, defunding the police. Crime has been surging. It's absolutely staggering what's been taking place. And there isn't any possibility, I think, Americans will ever go back to be conned again. It's clear Antifa and BLM are really recruiting arms of the Democratic Party. If you make contributions to BLM or Antifa, they go right to ActBlue, which is a Democrat fundraising site. So it's outrageous what's taking place with the Democrats, in my opinion, having compromise their right to speak on behalf of the American people. Everything they're doing is grotesque. Everything. Now, here's a story I haven't been covering, but which I believe deserves attention, namely, January 6th, detainees carried out a D.C. jail on stretchers after assault by guards. According to a court filing, several of the January 6th detainees, which in my opinion was all illegal, they're not allowed legal representation. This is a violation of habeas corpus. This is primitive, what's going on, because the Democrats are trying to set an example of anyone who might rightly or wrongly protest against the theft of the election. Carried out a D.C. jail on stretchers on Thursday, the incident began when Kelly Meigs, one of the January 6th defendants, refused to wear a mask. The guards responded by using pepper spray or some other chemical in the enclosed area on one of the January 6th detainees. The pepper spray disseminated through the entire pod, affecting the inmates and creating a disturbance that caused the prison to be locked down at around 10 a.m. Notice, if you're wearing a mask and pepper spray is deployed, you could easily choke to death. They sprayed mace or some type of gas at an inmate and kept missing, so it went into an intake that fed into other cells. And the lady with the key left because she didn't like the gas. So inmates in the cells who were being fed the gas from the intake were locked in for like 15 minutes while it was going into their rooms, and they could neither see nor breathe. At least six of the January 6th detainees were taken to the medical bays on a stretcher. The jail is under investigation for its deplorable conditions. Maybe they should take some time to train the guards on their use of pepper spray in an enclosed area where they're at it. Or better yet, just fire them and get better ones. Here's a report. Lamont Ruffin, the acting U.S. Marshal for Washington, told Quincy Booth, director of the D.C. Department of Corrections, in a letter that he personally went to the jail and saw evidence of systemic failures. Now, these are real systemic failures of the prison to maintain suitable facilities, unlike the alleged systemic racism, which in my opinion is non-existent in the United States. Prison guards routinely shut off water to cells as punishment. Multiple cells had large amounts of standing human sewage, urine and feces in the toilets because they cut off the water. Additionally, guards were observed antagonizing detainees. Hot meals were observed being served cold and congealed. Jail officials were ordered to transfer around 400 detainees, 36% of the inmates, one of the facilities to make up the D.C. jail to a prison in another state so they'd have more humane conditions. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Louis Gohmert, after months of attempts, were able to tour the facilities last week. Greene said she witnessed terrible conditions, including January 6 detainees receiving very poor food and virtually no medical care. That was from the Epoch Times, which, by the way, is a wonderful source, almost always spot on. This is America under the Biden administration. What's the next step? D.C. jail and its banana republic charms for the unvaccinated? That's a hell of a good question. Now, a correspondent of mine, whom I regard as just a brilliant guy, suggests there may be more to this story, that because of the refusal to wear masks, that they may have been support for the, you know, opposing the use of the masks, which I think are monstrous and inappropriate. My blog, which is still down, alas, has, you know, a dozen articles about why face masks are harmful and not beneficial, but they're unavailable at present. So, and because so much is going on in terms of censorship, you're going to have a hard time finding them elsewhere. Let me say there are three issues on which you're now going to be subjected to massive censorship. One is if you dispute the election of 2020, or the proof of the theft of the election is simply overwhelming. Second, the January 6th intrusion, if you suggest it was orchestrated by the FBI, for example, and the Democrats, about which I believe there is no room for doubt, or if you dispute the reality of the pandemic and the benefits of the vaccine, all of those are being massively censored right now, today, on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. I actually lost my whole Twitter account overnight, where I had, you know, 2,500 tweets and 2,500 followers. And one day it's there and the next day it's not. Just gone. Just absolute gone. Now, here's, you know, looking at some of the latest reports. We have Sweden halting the use of the Moderna vaccine is causing more harm than good. We have Austria, world's first nationwide lockdown for the unvaccinated, a 30,000K fine for non-compliance. I'm not quite sure what unit of currency, but that doesn't sound good to me for being unvaccinated. I mean, countries that I've used to thought were among the leaders of the world are turning out to be just piles of shit. I mean, it's just in bad news. And of course, we have the absurdities of the Biden administration attempting to destroy America. Absolutely pathetic. By the way, Mitchell, I know you're there. If you have any thoughts you'd like to add about any of the above, I'd be very pleased for you to join me. Any thoughts you might have, my friend, please. Are you there, Mitchell? Mitchell's had his hands full with a number of issues, so he may be unable to join. In any case, as I say, if anyone would like to call in, the number 540-352-4452. I'd be glad to hear from you. It's absolutely unbelievable what's happening to the United States today. I'm just absolutely stunned. And let me... We have further developments in the case of the Durham probe, which has been exposing the media's shielding of Russiagate's Democrat origins. Now we're getting somewhere. For years, it was known as Russiagate, the vast conspiracy that sought to tie Donald Trump to the Kremlin. allegedly endangering the very ethos of our great nation. But then, as we took a closer look at the mess, the situation transformed into Obamagate, a conspiracy among the Democrats to concoct the idea that Trump was a Russian surrogate, using any number of clandestine and kooky methods, one of which included a bit of opposition gossip called the Steele dossier. Now, as the Department of Justice continues to explore the reality of Russiagate's origins, it appears as though some high-level Democrats will have some splaining to do. Washington Post media critic Eric Wimple took aim at media outlets that peddled the infamous Steele dossier following recent revelations from the Durham probe. Last week, Special Counsel John Durham, who was appointed by the Trump administration to investigate the origins of the Russia investigation, charged Steele's sub-source, Igor Danchenko, over false statements made to the FBI. The indictment shed light on Danchenko's ties to Democrats, casting doubt on the validity of the media's past coverage of the dossier. The Danchenko indictment doubles as a critique of several media outlets that covered Steele's reports in 2016 and after its publication by BuzzFeed in January of 2017, Wemple wrote on Monday. I mean, this is remarkable enough coming from a Washington Post media figure. CNN, MSNBC, Mother Jones, the McClatchy newspaper chain, various pundits, showered credibility upon the dossier without corroboration and found other topics to cover when a forceful debunking arrived in December 2019 via a report from the Inspector General Michael Horowitz of the Department of Justice. And when it comes to the selective reporting by Rachel Maddow and others, he laid down the law. Just as Durham can't use the dossier to deflect from the larger Trump-Russia tableau, however, people such as Maddow and others can't use the larger Trump-Russia tableau to deflect from their coverage of the dossier. A reckoning is years overdue. But with Joe Biden in the White House, will the Durham probe face a reckoning of its own as it approaches the truth of the matter? Highly unlikely. I myself published a short book about this, exposing the Russia hoax, how the deep state and the media conspired to frame a sitting president. Pretty interesting stuff. Meanwhile, a Soros-funded San Francisco DA is facing a recall election. Chesa Boudin, San Francisco DA, a radical, will face a recall election as crime spikes in the Bay Area. Cop-hating socialist Chesa Boudin won his district attorney race in San Francisco in 2019. He was brought up by terrorist Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn after his parents were sent to prison for terrorism. Chesa was a communist working family's party choice for DA. He ran on a platform of closing jails, but apparently he's too far left even for San Franciscans because they want him out. Today, the Department of Elections certified the petition to recall DA Chesa Boudin contains a sufficient number of valid signatures that the petition is successful, said the director of election, announcing the conclusion of the certification. The Department of Elections has certified a petition seeking to recall San Francisco DA Chesa Boudin, forcing the progressive prosecutor to defend his post in a recall election next summer. As a first petition failed to garner sufficient signatures to trigger a special election, news of the second recall effort against him came in August, last month, prior to certification. NBC Bay Area Investigative Unit reported more than 83,000 signatures that had already been submitted during the statewide election on June 7th, as prescribed under California Election Code 11225. The department reviewed 4,174 signatures, 5% of the total submitted, randomly selected from the 83,484. Based on the review, the department determined the petition contained a number of valid signatures greater than the minimum of 51,325, required for it to be deemed successful. Bowden-Spock blasted recall efforts in a statement to Fox. We saw the exact same thing happen with Governor Newsom's recall. We are confident San Francisco voters will reject this Republican-funded and endorsed effort as well. The recall is an event to reverse the reforms Bowden has enacted to keep us safe and make the criminal system fairer. But this will not stop him from continuing to work for all San Franciscans. But get this, what has he done? He refuses to prosecute crimes. He's freed violent offenders and killers who've gone on to kill again. Earlier this year, a 7-month-old baby boy was murdered after Bowden let his killer go free twice after domestic abuse allegations. Meanwhile, we have a BLM leader threatening bloodshed and riots if the New York City cops return to policing the city. I mean, how absurd is this? New York City Mayor-elect Eric Adams, who seems to be a good man, he won't be sworn in until January 1st of 2022. But they're threatening that he better do things their way or else. Adams and the head of Black Lives Matter of Greater New York, Hawk Newsom, met in a closed-door meeting to discuss policing under the new Adams administration. According to Fox and the AP, Newsom and other BLM leaders threatened violence throughout the city if Adams planned on returning to the practice of the New York City Police Department being tough on crime. They want him to refrain from returning to the old ways. According to the report, the meeting devolved into a shouting match. The incoming mayor is a former police captain. Adams disregarded the threat from BLM and called it toothless. Said it would have no bearing on policymaking in his administration. At a Thursday morning press conference, he said, "That's silly. And I think New Yorkers should not allow rhetoric like that. This city is not going to be a city of riots. It's not going to be a city of burning. It's going to be a city where we are going to be safe. There's no surprise on what I said. When I ran to become the mayor of the city of New York, I said I was going to reinstitute an anti-gun unit in plain clothes. Voters voted on that. I stated what I was going to do. What I said on the campaign trail is what you're going to see in City Hall, and I'm not backing away from that," which is good. Outside the borough hall after the meeting, Newsom accused Adams of betraying the Black Lives Matter movement and not paying attention to the group's demands. If he thinks that they're going to go back to the old ways of policing, then we're going to take to the streets again. There will be riots, there will be fire, and there will be bloodshed because we believe in defending our people. There is a reason why he called us last year seeking to explain why he would be the best candidate for Black New York. He knows Black people and brown people respect our work. He stood with Black Lives Matter when it was politically convenient, but now it serves him better to be pro-cop. Well, I think everyone ought to be pro-cop. Meanwhile, in an uber-blue city like New York, Eric Adams could have been described as the most moderate of the Democrat candidates who ran in the mayoral primary, yet he describes himself as progressive. He was quite clear on the campaign trail. He was not in favor of defunding the police, nor should be any sane citizen, but was in favor of common sense reform. Adams said he also plans to offer a seat on a mayoral committee to someone from BLM. A seat at the table to actually discuss the issues at hand might not be a demand of BLM. No, they want to control everything. Meanwhile, even readers, RSN, which is a left-wing website, Readers Supported News, is acknowledging we're heading into rough water. Americans seem to be less resistant to the notion that political violence is or soon will be an acceptable feature of American society. An audience member recently asked a Trump ally, Turning Point U.S. founder Charlie Kirk, in Idaho, when he and like-minded patriots would begin shooting progressives. It was a serious question. During the answer period following the speech, one attendee rose and said, "At this point, we're living under corporate and medical fascism. This is tyranny. When do we get to use the guns? No, and I'm not. That's not a joke. I'm not saying it like that. I mean, literally, where is the line? How many elections are they going to steal before we kill these people? Kirk responded by telling the audience that violence wasn't advisable, but not for any legal, moral, ethical reason. Instead, he said, reverting to the Biden administration, we are living under fascism. We are living under this tyranny. But if you think for a second they're not wanting you to all of a sudden get to that next level where they're going to say, okay, we need Patriot Act 2.0. If you think that, you know, Waco is bad. Wait until you see what they want to do next. What I'm saying is that we have a very fragile balance right now at our current time when we must exhaust every single peaceful means possible. The event at which the exchange took place sounds like a one-off gathering of violent right-wing lunatics, something that was relatively common after Donald Trump lost the 2020 election. Remember, this is coming from a left-wing website. But it's not quite that simple. There are a lot of people who seem ready to take up arms. Significant minorities in both the Republican and Democrat parties support the use of violence against their political opposition. Survey participants, for example, say that have reinforced advocates of violence on both sides. They view clashes over the past few years in Portland, Oregon, Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Louisville, Kentucky, and an armed right-wing protest at the state capitol in Michigan as examples proving their point that the other side is out of control and that violence is the only response to violence. Well, there's a lot going on there. Pay attention to the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, now entering its final phase. I expect him to be exonerated of all counts. I would be very disappointed if the jury were to find him guilty, even of lesser included charges. Thanks for listening. I'll be back on Wednesday with the event.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in...